Hi there. Welcome to Service Notes. I'm your host, Reena Brambat. And if you have ever wondered what really happens behind the scenes in IT service management, well, you're in the right place. We're talking tech, transformation, and the occasional, oh no, the system is down moments. Expect real stories, real experts, and maybe a little fun along the way. Whether you're deep into IT service management or just tech curious, grab a coffee or water will do. And let's dive in. Hit that play button. Let's do this. In this episode, we are talking to David Cannon, also known as the ITIL guy, who's been on this journey since version one of ITIL. He shares deep insights and practical advice that IT leaders can start applying right away. This is one conversation you do not want to miss.
Okay, all right. Hi, David. Thank you so much for joining us on Service Notes podcast, where we discuss all things service management. So, why don't you tell our listener one fun thing about you?
This well, first of all, thanks for having me. And I guess it depends on what people consider to be fun. But yeah, I'm an ITIL guy. I have been doing ITIL since 92. My ITIL certificate number is 345. Now, I'm not sure if that's fun or not, but it's
That is fun. Oh my God. So you've seen the whole thing evolve, right? Like continuously. So you
Yeah.
probably did like version one, my guess.
Yeah, it was version one. Yeah.
Version one. Okay. And then V2, V3, and now V4. Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. So I guess given you are a veteran in this space, what do you enjoy about ITIL that kept you?
You know,
Or
I
you
th
kept
there's
ITIL going?
well, there's a lot of things about it. First of all, I started in my career managing IT without any kind of ITIL. There was no ITIL, and we had to try and figure out how to manage these large computer systems, and there was a lot of guidance given from the vendors, but nobody told you how you should work with the users in your organization, how you should understand the business of your organization. And for me, ITIL was just a really helpful thing. It made a huge difference in how I approach my career. For example, the very first thing I did was service level management. It was one of the very first courses that I studied. And it was just such a breakthrough for me, because for the first time I realized, hold on, you mean I can sit down with users and managers in the organization, and I can talk to them about what they use our computers for and what level of service is appropriate for them and when they're going to be using services. I just thought, well, everything has to be available all the time and it has to run as fast as possible all the time. And I began to learn that actually nobody expects that. And that meant I could do my job a lot more easily. I could plan things, and it made a huge difference for me. So I remember a time not having ITIL and then finding ITIL and working with ITIL made a huge difference. And then I think the second thing that's was really important for me is it was not an academic approach to things. You couldn't study things that are in ITIL in a university. In fact, if you try without any kind of experience in IT and you just get this material, it's not academic, so it doesn't kind of fit with the rest of the things you're studying. It doesn't really make much sense until you actually go into practice and you see, oh, that's why we prioritize incidents. Oh, that's why we have different types of escalation. This starts to make sense when you're actually doing it.
Yeah, no,
So, yeah.
that's so important. But just to pick on your answer, the first, like your career, you had no ITIL and then you had ITIL, and you can see the difference. I mean, do you think today there are still organization and people working in IT don't know about ITIL?
Yeah, there are. There are a lot, actually. And especially if you're talking in the US, there has been so much focus on the technology training. So, for example, I think more people will have been through a cloud training course, whether that's a cloud architect or a cloud user course, and through a security management course. For cybersecurity, they've been through those courses. And the interesting thing is, they've studied all of this really interesting and important stuff about how to secure systems, about how to manage systems. But somehow we've lost this, the touch of service management. Oh, and I think part of this was in the early days of cloud, some of the cloud service providers made the claim that the cloud does service management for you. You don't have to worry about service management if you're using the cloud. And I
Well,
think there are still people who believe that, but I think more and more, people are beginning to realize, no, the cloud doesn't actually do that. If you configure things incorrectly in the cloud, you can actually cause a lot of damage. And the cloud doesn't stop you from doing that. If if you do not enforce security policies correctly in the cloud, you're opening yourself up to a lot of risk. And again, the cloud doesn't do this for you. It gives you tools, but you have to use them. So I think we've kind of allowed ourselves to believe that the technology is going to take care of everything around service management, and we've I think in many cases are just not focused on it. So if you do a show of hands today in any room of technology people, how many of you have heard of ITIL? I'm surprised by how many people do not put their hands up and say, "No, I've never heard of this. What is that?" It's really, really surprising to me.
Well, I guess after the CrowdStrike on July 19, I think more people would know about what ITIL is, because I think I read some brief about the lawsuit and stuff, and I think they were mentioning about they didn't follow the change management, or perhaps they didn't quite understand whose responsibility it was,
Right.
to manage that infrastructure. So yeah,
Right,
definitely.
exactly. I mean, we're having all kinds of problems because these things are not defined. Whose responsibility is change? Now, again, part of that comes from the pushback against ITIL. ITIL was accused of being very bureaucratic and of slowing organizations down. And so people said, well, we don't need all that bureaucracy. We're going to put in place very agile kind of change management. And
Agile, yes.
to a certain extent, you need to do that. But to another extent, there are certain things that simply have to be controlled rigidly. And you have to be able to tell the difference. And this is where service management becomes really important, because if you're dealing with, let's say, agile product development or product management, you're dealing with one product at a time. You're putting all of the security measures into that product. You're making sure that product complies with whatever change standards exist for that product. But what you're not doing is looking at the impact of that product on the broader ecosystem. You're by all means, your product is high quality, highly secure, but when you put it onto a network with 100 other products, you've got no way of telling what the performance of that network is, what's going to get access, where the loopholes are that may impact your product. You don't know this. This is where service management is really powerful, because what it does is it takes everything into consideration whenever changes are being discussed, security measures are being discussed, capacity is being discussed. And I think, you can assume that every individual product, if it's developed and built and managed in a quality way, is therefore going to do everything that it needs to. It's not a good assumption, because the impact of other products in the ecosystem is not always known. And this is where service management is really helpful. It brings them all together. It evaluates all products in relation to each other. Which is why, in some cases, change does get a little bit bureaucratic because you're not just looking at one set of changes in isolation. You're looking at multiple sets of changes from multiple sources all happening at the same time. No, that's not to say we need to be bureaucratic. That's not what I'm saying. But it does mean that in service management, you need to tell which changes need to be managed more rigorously. And which changes can be left up to the individual product teams to manage themselves. But if you don't, then you end up doing it either all very rigorously or all just leave it up to the product teams. There's no in between. And that's where the problems come.
I think I guess you're just saying like it's finding that balance. Like
Yes.
not, and I think that's why in change enablement there is a standard change, isn't it? Because we don't want to be
Yes.
bureaucratic. So it's like, okay, this is a repeatable thing which we do know, it's a low risk, and you know we can kind of safely say yes, go ahead and make that change.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that
Yeah,
ITIL has
and
evolved in that sense.
it has. I mean, a lot of people will look at ITIL and say, yes, that's the thing with the change advisory board, that every change has to go through the change advisory board. Well, actually, that's not true. That's just how some people have implemented it. But actually, the sign of a really good change enablement practice is reducing the number of changes that go to a centralized approval body. You shouldn't have a lot of changes going through this. The only changes that need to go through to something like that are where you have pretty much every group in the organization, but none of them are really sure how the change is going to impact them. So get them in the same room and get them to talk about it. But we don't want all of our changes to be like that. We want changes to be clearly understood. We want people in the organization who are making changes and who are benefiting from changes to understand exactly what the impact of those changes are before they're rolled out. You shouldn't have to go to a change advisory board to answer that kind of question. So actually, a good service management practice will reduce the amount of changes going to a change advisory board and increase the number of changes that are being dealt with in a more streamlined, agile fashion.
So I'm just taking some notes for the follow-up questions because.
Hope you're enjoying my chat with David Cannon as much as I am, because let's be honest, the episode is full of practical advice. We all can benefit from it. Don't forget to tune in next week as we keep the ITIL deep dive going. More insights, more ideas and wisdom, and probably a few aha moments. Talk to you then. Till then, take care. This episode of Service Notes is sponsored by 24 Trainings. Check out their service management training classes at www.24trainings.com.